بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening, we all are aware that we have entered a new Islamic year, and of course the month of Muharram is the first month of the Islamic calendar. We are now 1448, and we can see how fast and how rapid time is moving. This is exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied, and he mentioned yataqarabu zaman, which simply means that time will elapse, it will move very, very rapidly, very quickly. An entire year will feel as though just 1 month passed. An entire month will feel as though just a week passed. And a week will feel as though just one day passed. And the 1 day will pass so quick as though just an hour passed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this to us more than 1,400 years ago. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala mentions, ما منكم من أحد إلا وهو ضيف وماله عارية فالضيف مرتحل والعارية مؤداة إلى أهلها. He says that each one of you is just a guest, is a visitor in this dunya, and whatever wealth he possesses, it is a loan from him, a loan to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a guest never remains in a person, in the host's house forever. After a couple of days, then he sets out on his journey and returns home. So وَضَّيْفُ مُرْتَحِلٌ. Like this, all of us are guests in this dunya, and we all have to depart from this world. And وَالْعَارِيَةُ. The loan that Allah has given us, the wealth, etc., everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything belongs to Allah Rabbul Izzat. In another narration, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he used to say that I don't regret any day ma nadimtu ala shay'in nadami ala yawmin gharabat fihi shamsuhu naqasa fihi ajali walam yazid amali. He says that I do not regret on anything like how I regret on that day which passed, the sun set, my time, my lifespan is becoming shorter, but my amal has not increased. This was out of his humility. He was a very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lesson is for all of us. The years will come, go by, and before we know, mort will strike, and or eventually the world comes to an end, and we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to account for all our doings in this world. In the past few weeks, we explained, we all know the conditions that the ummah is facing, and we don't have to go into any details. But we spoke last week about ruju' ila Allah, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely, genuinely, begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah pardons our sins, Allah forgives us, making sincere tawbah, tawbatan nasuha, which meant that when a person makes tawbah, he will not go back to the sin, like how it is impossible after we milk the cow, it is not possible to push and stuff the milk back into the udders of the cow, like that the person after making a sincere, pure, genuine tawbah, he will not go back to the sins that he is involved in. And then we also spoke about Yunus alayhi salatu salam's people, that on just at the very last moment, when azab was hovering above their heads, and they could see every indication of punishment because they rejected the call and invitation Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu salam made to them to believe in Allah Rabbul Izzat, otherwise an azab will come. They rejected him. And when he left his community, then they saw these clouds above them. Dark, luminous clouds. And they realized that now this is punishment. So quickly they brought iman in Allah Rabbul Izzat. They brought genuine iman. They made tawbah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed that azab that was going to come to them. So the lesson was that for all of us, sometimes some azab is overwhelming us, it is hovering above our heads. All we need to do is genuinely turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat, make sincere tawbah, istighfar, and engage also in dua. And the previous week we spoke about the different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the various duas they made, and each one Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ, and we answered his dua. So this is what we need to do. Do good deeds, make a sincere effort, all of us, that I want to change my life. Every youngster has to make up his mind. Every elderly person has to make up his mind. Every mother, every sister, every brother, young and old, ulama, all types of professionals, every single person, ordinary person, a businessman. And there's no time to go into our weaknesses and all the wrongs that all of us are doing, especially myself. Allah hide and conceal our faults. But there has to be the time, when after seeing so many things happening in the world, and still we're not prepared to make that genuine change in our life. So now Muharram has come, mashallah, a very sacred month. In the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, it is known as, or Rasulullah ﷺ has said, أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم. The most virtuous of fasting after the month of Ramadan is the fasting of the month of Muharram. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Shahrullah, it is the month of Allah. In other words, there's a special connection and isbat, like how we say Kitabullah, the book of Allah, Baytullah, the house of Allah, Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, each one linked to Allah, Allah, like that, Shahrullah. This month of Muharram, the entire month, is known as the month of Allah. Showing again the blessedness, auspiciousness of the entire month. But more especially the day of Ashura, which has just begun after Maghrib. And of course tomorrow is also Friday, Yom Jumu'ah. Now look at Allah's favors upon us. Favor upon favor. He gave us Jumu'ah, the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. These are all opportunities for us. Allah is calling us, inviting us. Come turn to me, I'm ready to help you, assist you. Remove all your fears, remove your difficulties and problems. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has emphasized fasting on the day of Ashura. In the hadith reported by Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have mentioned that he says, Ahtasibu, I have great hopes that the fasting on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, Siyamu Yumi Ashura, yukaffiru sanata allati qablaha, it wipes out, it obliterates all the minor sins committed by the person the previous year. The year that passed, 1447, all the minor sins a person has done in that year, just by fasting on the day of Ashura, Allah forgives him all those sins. There is a hadith where there is a great academic discussion between great scholars. Some have not accepted it, others have mentioned it is weak, but it is mu'tabar. You can practice on it. And most of us, we look for these type of narrations. Simple hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Man wasa'a ala ahlihi wa ma'ashura wasa'a Allahu alayhi sa'ira sanatihi." That person who makes tawsi'ah, wasa'a in Arabic means to expand something. Sometimes we have a masjid and now we are expanding the masjid. We're making it bigger, making it larger. There is an extension. So what it means, that person who is a bit more generous, opens his heart to his family, he spends on them a little more than what he would normally spend on them on the day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spend more on him. Allah will be generous to him the entire year. And imagine Allah's generosity. In other words, Allah will give him barakah the entire year. He will see barakah in his livelihood. So this is an easy practice and amal. But of course we have to do it genuinely. Don't exceed the limits. Hadith is straightforward. Whoever spends a little more on his family, whether you're buying some food or clothing, whatever it is, of course don't go beyond the limits and become extravagant. And now we start to beg from people and take loans. No. But you will see barakah, and this is a tried and tested amal of many, many pious people and muhaddithin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kitabs is mentioned that he used to keep the fast of Ashura in Makkah Mukarramah before he made Hijrah. At that time, the Quraysh were also, the Mushrikeen in the time of Jahiliyyah, they should also keep fast on the 10th of Muharram, even the Yahud and Nasara. Rasulullah SAW came to Madinah Munawwara, he found the Yahud were fasting. He then commanded the Muslim, the Sahaba, to fast. This was just before the fast of Ramadan became compulsory. So then the fast of Ashura initially, the second year, it was compulsory. And Rasulullah SAW had exhorted the Sahaba to keep this fast. He gave them the virtues. Sahaba began to fast. That particular year, it was compulsory for everybody to keep fast on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. It is mentioned in the riwayat to such an extent that the woman folk would make the young children also fast. Nasumu wa nusawwimu sibyanana. We should make our young children fast. And if any one of them began to cry out of hunger, we would then distract their attention with giving them some little toys made of wool. And the child begins to play with that and forget the hunger and the food till it was time for iftar. Now, imagine what level they had taken this fast to be. And then Ramadan came. So this fast, the fardiyat, became abrogated. It was no longer fard. Then Ramadan was fard. Rasulullah SAW would then keep it. And he told the Sahaba, whoever wishes to keep can keep. Those who do not want to keep will not keep. Some Sahaba kept, or many of them kept. Then, prior to Rasul's demise, he realized that the Yahud were fasting on this day, and they would show special respect to this day of Ashura. And when he inquired of them, what was the reason for this? So they explained, and they said, that this was the day, anjallahu fihi Musa wa qawmahu. Min Fir'aun wa qawmihi. Allah had saved Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam on this particular day and the Bani Israel from the clutches of Fir'aun and his army. And Allah had drowned Fir'aun on this day. فَصَامَهُ مُوسَى شُكْرًا لِلَّهِ. Musa alayhi salatu salam kept this roza out of showing gratitude to Allah. This is how the fast of Ashura came about. So the Yahud said, وَنَسُومُهُ, and we also fast on this day. So Rasulullah SAW realized that the Yahud, they were fasting and they showed special honor and respect for this day, and they were fasting because Sayyidina Musa SAW fasted. أَحَقُّ وَأَوْلَى بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. We are more closer to Sayyidina Musa SAW than you are. And therefore he again encouraged the Sahaba to fast. It was not compulsory, but he told them to keep this fast and to oppose the Yahud even in this action. He said, لَإِن بَقِيتُ إِلَىٰ قَابِرٍ لَأَسُومَنَّ التَّاسِحَ. If I am alive the next year, then I will definitely keep the ninth as well. So some riwayats have been mentioned that you can keep one day before Ashura and you keep the day of Ashura, or the day of Ashura and one day after. To make mukhalafa, to oppose the Yahud. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was saved from Fir'aun. If you look at the entire history of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, you will find beautiful incidents and events and milestones for us to take lessons from. Fir'aun was a tyrant, and not an ordinary tyrant. He had reached the limits of tyranny. He was an oppressor. He killed 70,000 little babies of the Bani Israel at that time. So we can see the despots of this world, the oppressors. The similar thing goes in their blood. They have no mercy whatsoever. Innocent, masoom children, they are born, and every male that was born, he would tell his soldiers to go and kill that male, that child. Why? He had seen many visions that he was being dethroned. That was the interpretation given. from the dream that he would see, that his throne, and who will become the next ruler or in charge and take over his throne? A child of Bani Israel. So Fir'aun was a despot, he was a tyrant ruler. He suffered egoism. He was self-conceited. He was very, very rude, aggressive, merciless. Allah's plan is such that that child for whom Fir'aun, or regarding whom Fir'aun is in pursuit of, and he has told his men to go search every house, every home, where there is a male child that is going to be born, you must go and put an end to that child. Allah's plan was that Sayyidina Musa is born. What does his mother do? Allah inspires her. Allah inspires her that you nurse your child, feed your child. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. At the moment you fear, now the soldiers are coming and they're going to search your house, you have khawf, then put him into a little basket and put him into the river Nile. Then Allah tells her, do not fear and do not grieve. Two words, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Khawf and huzan. What khawf mufassirin say? وَلَا تَخَافِي غَرْقَ مُوسَى. Don't fear that this is a little child, you're going to put him in this basket and he's going to go into the river Nile and he's going to drown. Don't fear. وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. And do not grieve over this departure of separation of your little child, Musa. إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكَ. Allah consoles her and Allah says, verily we will return him to you. And not just return him, وَجَاعِلُهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We will be making him one of our messengers. So she does exactly like that. And it so happens that this little basket in which Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is, it goes and flows and comes right till the palace of Fir'aun. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ. The men of Fir'aun, they picked this child. It's a boy. Allah made it such. Allah is showing us. Man can plan, the enemies of Allah can plan. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Whatever Allah plans, that becomes effective, that becomes dominant, that takes place. Every other plan fails. The wife of Fir'aun and Fir'aun, they were sitting on the banks and she saw this child. And immediately Allah put muhabbat of this child, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, into her heart. And what did she say? This child will become qurratu ayni li wa lak, la taqtuluhu. Don't kill him. Spare his life. This child will become a coolness of my eyes and your eyes to Fir'aun. Mufassirin have written that Fir'aun said, Amma li fala. That this child becoming coolness of eyes for myself? No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, this is mentioned in tafsir kitabs, that if only Fir'aun said yes, he'll become the coolness of your eyes and my eyes, la amana Fir'aun, he brought iman. But he didn't bring iman. And he said, this child will not be the coolness of my eyes. Nonetheless, they did not kill him. 70,000 innocent babies were killed. And the plan was to kill this child. But Allah saved, Allah protected. A few, perhaps months back, we gave the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, احفظ الله يحفظك. You protect the commands of Allah. Whatever Allah has commanded us to do, we do. Whatever Allah has prohibited us, we refrain from. يحفظك. Allah will protect you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it twice. احفظ الله. First one, يحفظك. That if you protect the commands of Allah, you abide by the commands of Allah, Allah will protect you. Then he said, احفظ الله. تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ. You protect the commands of Allah, you will find Allah in front of you, ready to assist you, ready to protect you. My respected brothers and elders and our mothers, unfortunately we have not made qadr of Allah. We have not appreciated the countless ni'mat that Allah has given us. We have not realized Allah's azamat, His kibriya, His greatness. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates, he says that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the mimbar, he read the verse, qara al-ayah, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. That the people have not, mankind has not appreciated Allah, how Allah ought to be appreciated. And Allah talks about the scene of Qiyamah, that when the entire world, the earth and the skies will be wrapped up in the hands of Allah. Allah is free from any type of defects, blemishes, false witnesses, from whatever the people attribute to Allah Rabbul Izzat, the shirk that they make. Allah is free from all this. Allah is spark, is most pure. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this verse with great enthusiasm, with vigor, with power. And what did he say? He says, "Yumajjidu Allahu nafsahu." Allah is glorifying Himself. Allah praises Himself, and Allah says, "Anal Jabbar, Anal Mutakabbir, Anal Malik, Anal Aziz." Anal Kareem. Allah says that Allah is most powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most generous and most merciful. Allah is most dominant. Power belongs to Allah. Supremacy belongs to Allah. Rasulullah mentioned it with such vigor that the mimbar began to tremble. Farajafa al-mimbar. The actual member began to shake, that the Sahaba thought, radiallahu anhu majma'in, that perhaps Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam might just fall off the member. He said it with such feeling, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. That we haven't appreciated Allah, how Allah ought to be appreciated. What does Allah want from us? Allah wants us to show servitude to Allah, that we are the bondsmen of Allah, the bondswoman of Allah. We are the slaves of Allah. And we have to please our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is all Allah wants from us. So Allah has shown us in this entire story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam not only be found by Musa and his life spared, not only found by Fir'aun and Fir'aun spared his life, but Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam actually grows in the palace of Fir'aun. Rabbahu Fir'aun. Fir'aun had to make his tarbiyat and bring him up. And one day as Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was walking and he sees two people fighting. One was a Bani Israel who was being oppressed by the other person who was an Egyptian, one of the person of Fir'aun. So he sought help and he screamed for help, and Sayyidina Musa went to intervene and just help this man because he could see he was mazloom. But before we come to that, it's a very important point I'd like to share. You see, when Sayyidina Musa was put into this basket, and then there came a time when the mother realized, Umm Musa realized that now this child is going to Fir'aun. When that happened, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. Her entire heart became farigh, means void of sabr. As the Thani rahmatullah has mentioned, farighan ani sabr. In other words, she became anxious. She became restless. إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَرَّبَتْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. She was almost going to reveal the truth and tell him, tell Fir'aun, this is my child. Had we not strengthened her heart. This is called rabata yarbutu in Arabic. Rabt, rabtul qalb. Rabata means to tie. To tie very securely, to make something, to tighten something, to make it firm. Ulama explain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put serenity, peace, comfort in her heart. Allah removed the fear, the anxiety she had in her heart. وَرَبَّطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. So Allah made her heart strong. Allah made her heart firm.
now the fear she had, the anxiety, it disappeared completely. The exact thing Allah Ta'ala mentions about the seven sleepers, Ashabul Kahf, in 15 para, when they did not make shirk with Allah Rabbul Izzat, they had iman. And now the plan was to put an end to these seven youngsters. Allah says, إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They stood up with iman. They said, we will never give up our iman. Allah is our creator. He is the creator of the skies and the earth. And Allah says, وَرَبَّطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Again, we made their hearts firm. Ulama and scholars have mentioned a person, when he goes through trials and difficulties and fear and apprehension and pain and suffering, he's anxious, he's restless, whatever the issue may be. And when he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's strong, Allah strengthens his heart. Allah secures his heart, and Allah Ta'ala gives him that peace, that inner peace. And Allah Ta'ala removes that restlessness he had. Rasulullah SAW would make dua, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Allah, keep my deen, keep my heart firm, thabit, steadfast on your deen. So then we continue the story. Now, Musa Islam sees this person being oppressed. All he does to stop that oppressor from hurting this man, he gives him one punch, just one punch. فَوَكَزَهُ Musa. Just one punch, and that led to that man's death. This is how strong Sayyidina Musa al-Islam was. Allah gave him a lot of strength. Immediately he turned to Allah, قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Ya Allah, ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي, I made zulam. Ya Allah, this is from shaitan. Nonetheless, the next day as he goes out again, he sees the same person quarreling with somebody else. And the man shouts again for him. Now Sayyidina Musa goes to stop him and addresses him that you are the same person who yesterday, or you are a mischievous person, you're fighting all the time. So then suddenly he began to scream, yeah, you wish to kill me like how you killed a person yesterday? When this happened, the news reaches Fir'aun. Now Fir'aun is in pursuit of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. I'm not going to mention all the other events that took place. So he escapes from Egypt and he goes to Madian. It's an 8 days journey and he's walking. He is tired. He's absolutely hungry. He is starving. And he sees a scene there with people taking their animals to the well to drink water. But there were two young girls sitting there very patiently and they were pushed on one side. And these men did not give them a break until they finished giving their animals water. Then these two girls had to go. So he felt pity. He goes and he lifts the lid of this well. And that's what one of them had observed, that he was very, very powerful, that he removed the lid of this well all on his own, by his own. Whereas normally 10 or 20 people would have to use all their might to remove this lid from the well. And then he drew buckets of water for them and he fed the animals and they went away. And he did this with all with haya, modesty. And then he goes under a tree and he makes his dua. And perhaps I mentioned it the other day. But what did he say? Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. Which means, oh my Allah, verily, whatever good you send down, I am muhtaj, I am faqir, I am a beggar, I need that khair from you. Mufassirin say, kana wahid, and he was all alone. Kana ja'i, and he was absolutely hungry. Kana khaif, and he was fearful of Fir'aun. And Allah answers his dua. And this is one occasion where Allah answered his dua immediately. When those two girls went home that day, some scholars say they were the daughters of Sayyidina Shoaib alayhi salatu wasalam, but I mentioned previously, they were the relatives of Sayyidina Shoaib alayhi salatu wasalam, according to many mufassireen. But they came from a very pious family. And the father inquired, how come you came back so early today? So they related the incident that there was a young, strong man, and he did this for us. So the father said, we need to show our gratefulness and we go to pay him. So the daughter says, why don't you employ him? We need a man to do this job. He is qawi and he's ameen. He's powerful, he's strong. And he did not make any khiyana. He did not look at us with a lustful gaze. He looked, he lowered his gaze. So he's an honest person. So one of them comes and Allah described, فَجَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. She also had so much of haya in her. And she said, my father is calling you. And he goes, so he walks in front, she is behind. Why? Because of parda. If she was walking in front and he could see her figure, she's behind. And how she's going to direct him? She takes stones, and if they have to turn right, she'll throw it on the right-hand side. If they have to turn left, on the left-hand side. And like that, they reach there. And long story short, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is now married to one of the daughters of this, of Shu'ayb alayhi salam, or one of the person who was the father of these two daughters. And the mahar was that, or he spent an entire period of 10 years in their service. Now he's returning. And as they're coming back to Egypt, now he sees fire, and finally he becomes the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the instruction is given to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to go and give da'wah to the oneness of Allah to Fir'aun. He has to go back to Fir'aun. And not to apologize or something, he has to go give da'wah towards Allah. So he says, Allah, make my brother Harun also a Nabi. And Allah also makes Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam a Nabi. And Allah says, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا. Go and speak to Fir'aun. In brackets, we know he was a tyrant, a despot, an oppressor. He was a murderer. Allah says, go and talk to him, address him with قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Soft, in a soft manner. With kindness, with politeness. He's the enemy of Allah. But you go and give him da'wah towards the oneness of Allah politely. This is how we should be giving da'wah. And we know that Fir'aun then calls his magicians. Initially they throw these sticks. And it is as though they are snakes, but they are all fake. When Sayyidina Musa throws his stick, it becomes a serpent, a genuine serpent. And it devours all these snakes, which are all fake. It was then that these magicians who donned the garment of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, initially they did mockingly. But when they realized that this is the Nabi of Allah, they all brought Iman. And this was exactly what Fir'aun was dreading. So now he threatens those magicians that I am going to kill you and execute you. And they said, we do not care. Again, this shows us the level of Iman. When a person believes firmly in Allah, then he's not going to become a renegade. Allah protect us from becoming murtads. Because he begins to love Allah, he knows this is the true deen. In today's time, there are so many people leaving the fold of Islam due to doubts. And these doubts come because they are busy in the internet. And some person brings through some doubts. And then he begins to question Islam. Therefore, it is important always to make dua, Allah, do not, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِيغْ قُلُوبَنَا. Don't deviate our hearts. Keep us on haqq and hidayat. And not only us, our families, our children, our grandchildren, our progeny. So they bring iman. And then Fir'aun, now he is in pursuit of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh, this iman I was saying that, when it comes into the heart of a person, then the person is ready to give his life for the sake of Allah. When genuine true iman comes. You know, Hiraqal, when Abu Sufyan bin Harb had gone to on a trade journey to Syria, and at that time a letter came from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inviting Hiraqal to accept Islam. This was in Persia. He asked, is there any people from that man who is claiming to be a prophet, a messenger? Is there any people from his tribe, any people from there who is present here? They said, yes, there's a caravan of traders. Abu Sufyan bin Harb was not a Muslim at that time. So he is summoned and he is kept in front of Firaqal.
And he is, the remaining people of his caravan are placed behind him. Hiraqal asks him many questions. And why did he keep his people behind Abu Sufyan to see if he lies? Then they would raise their eyebrows in the head. What is he saying? Then he'll know that he's lying. So every question he asked, Abu Sufyan gave a reply. And finally, Hiraqal says, I asked this person about this, about that Nabi, this. And I asked him the question, any person who has embraced his deen, has he become a renegade? Has he left his deen? He said, no. And then Hiraqal says, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانِ إِذَا خَالَتَتْ بَشَاشَتُهُ الْقَلْبِ When iman, the joy of iman, the ecstasy of iman, the sweetness of iman, when it comes into the heart, then the person is prepared to sacrifice everything for the sake of iman. This is the type of iman we're supposed to be having. An iman that makes us true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzat. May Allah give us true iman. And now Fir'aun is chasing Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And we come to the point where he comes now. In front of him is the sea. And behind him is the entire army of Fir'aun. Fir'aun and his army. Allah instructs Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, take that staff, that asa of his, and strike the sea. And when he does this, the sea becomes land. They are pathways. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel, they go past. Allah instructs Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, وَتْرُكِ الْبَحْرَ رَهْوَى Leave the sea as it is. Don't strike. Leave it as it is. These people are going to be drowned. He goes across, and as they come in, suddenly Allah makes that back into sea, in water. And now Fir'aun is drowning. That same Fir'aun, once upon a time when he was given da'wah towards Allah, he says, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِي I don't know of any other deity worthy of worship, any other Allah beside myself. And he says, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى I am your lofty Lord. Who are you talking about, Allah? Who is Allah? It is me, أَنَا أَنَانِيَّتْ Egoism, self-conceit, self-admiration. He felt that he was most powerful, he was most superior, and everybody else was inferior. Now when he is drowning, and mort comes to him, now he says, I bring iman, in like how the Banu Israel brought iman. Another ayat, I bring iman in the Rab of Harun and Musa. Allah says, Al-an now, وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ When you rejected me. So Fir'aun dies as a kafir. But Allah throws his body for the entire mankind to realize the might and power of Allah. And to show that this tyrant ruler, this oppressor, who was so haughty, arrogant, at that time when he realized how helpless and useless he was, now he is saying, he humbles himself before Allah when it is too late, and he realizes the might of Allah. So respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters, there are so many other incidents related to Muharram and the Ashura. Like the story of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the entire Hijrah, inshallah. Next week or some other occasion, we will discuss all this. For us, let us humble ourselves and have ubudiyyah. Ubudiyyah, be true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humble ourselves in our workplaces, in our institutions, in the masjid, at home, with our wives, with our workers. How do we treat our workers, our laborers? How do we treat the helpers at home? Is that the type of Islam we show, the Islam that Allah wants us to show? How do we treat our fellow, our friends? We can talk about the tyranny of Fir'aun. But do we have Fir'auniyat in ourselves? Allah protect us. In this zamana, there are many Fir'auns, Fara'een. May Allah protect us from the Fir'auns of this time. But the lessons of Sayyidina Musa, Allah showed us Allah's power, Allah's qudrat, how Allah protects, how Allah plans. Have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah strengthened their heart, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا How Allah strengthened the heart of Sayyidina Musa's mother. And how Allah saved Sayyidina Musa. How Allah made him his Nabi. So these are lessons for us. And of course I mentioned that the day of Ashura is indeed a very, very auspicious day. A day of Tawbah, Istighfar, Ibadah, like how we normally make on all other big occasions. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no special Ibadah to make besides the fasting. And if somebody did not keep Roza today, then we encourage to keep tomorrow and Saturday. If you kept today, fine. And you keep tomorrow. Tomorrow is the main day. That is the day of Ashura. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakat of these days and the Tawbah and Istighfar, may Allah remove all the fears that the Ummah is having, the apprehensions, the anxiety, the restlessness, the pain, the suffering. If there's any oppression, may Allah remove that oppression. May Allah give us the sukoon in our lives, and Allah make us now models for the future generation who will come, that these people, they turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. They took heed from the lessons of Quran and Hadith. And they changed their lives for a better life. Spiritually, they were connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made amends. Otherwise, as I mentioned previously, myself and all of us, time will elapse. Our lifespan comes to an end. And still, if you're not on the same spot, we might retrogress. Allah forbid. We've got these chances, these opportunities. Allah is showing us so many things in the entire world. We become so preoccupied in frivolous pursuits, arguments, and unnecessary, futile things. Stay away from guna. A special message to our youngsters. Leave all those cell phones and all the social media and all those haram things. With all these things becoming so rife, homosexuality, zina, taking drugs, living a life of filth, immorality, immodesty, the manner in which we address our elders, our parents. I read one saying to the, probably many of you may have read it, that when your parent finds it difficult to talk to you, then you must understand this is a very serious position in your life. When the father is scared to talk to you because he did not know how you're going to retaliate and respond, or the mother is scared of you, so she's not speaking because she's scared. She might say something and you might respond in a harsh way. Have we come to that ebb? And then we ask, how come? Why? I'm reading my namaz, I'm doing this, I'm doing everything, I'm fasting. But why? Why is all this happening? Please do not shift the blame on others. Look at our own selves. If we make the genuine effort, oh my Allah, I'm asking you for forgiveness, help me. We will make mistakes, genuinely we will make mistakes. But Allah, out of His kindness, His mercy, Allah will forgive us. Allah will strengthen our hearts. Allah will make our youth strong. Allah will make our women folk strong, our men folk, our elderly, our ulama, our scholars. Every person will become united. The ummah will become strong. And the rest of the world will see the beauty of Islam. The truth of Islam, which you and I, unfortunately, besides a handful of people, have showcased it properly, correctly in this country. We have not given the real dawah to the masses. And there are so many people, I swear by Allah, in the last week, two people who mentioned to me that I'm working for so and so Muslim, but I do not want to accept Islam because of the manner in which he treats me. I don't have to say anything else. May Allah conceal my faults. I promise you I'm weaker than all of you. Allah guide us. Allah protect us. We just look for faults. This Maulana, that person, that apa, or this businessman, that doctor, that musalli. We just look for faults. Now it is time to connect to Allah. Focus towards Allah. Cry and repent. How many more signs and warnings do we require from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So may Allah grant me tawfiq, grant all of you tawfiq of making the best of this Mubarak day in which we become the lovers of Allah and the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.